The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry Highway. They are open for business. They are also giving back to so many who have been affected by Hurricane Ian. Right now, take an additional $500 off their advertised prices on new and pre-owned vehicles. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Come out to the dealership this weekend. Bill Curry Ford. Order your new vehicle now and get an additional $500 back just for doing it. Sean Sullivan, the GM, is going to give you a $500 gift card. No deposit on new vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Check it out today. Did you get all that, Ira?
No, because I had a mouthful of Cuban sandwich. I didn't hear you.
Buccaneers fans, this is the Ira Kaufman Podcast leading into Sunday Night Football, Bucs Chiefs, episode 2 of this week. A very somber week, Ira, because you know that, sometimes we joke about how we have listeners, which we really do, in Guam and Panama and Germany and all over the world. We've got plenty in Southwest Florida, Ira, so our hearts go out. Really awful stuff, and, we look forward to hearing from those listeners and readers, and if there's a way we can help, I don't know how that is, but we can try. And people know where to find us on social media, at Joe Bucks Fan on Twitter. Ira's at iKaufman76. You can always reach out to anybody, and we can try. We're working with helping promote relief efforts from our friends at Big Storm Brewery. Big Storm Brewery, they've got a tap room down in Cape Coral, as well as Orlando at the Amway Center, and of course in Clearwater at the flagship where you watch games, Ira, and up in Odessa. They've been organizing supplies drives to drive down to the region, and that will keep going, and want to put that out there right up front. I know the Sage landed through the storm safely, Lee as well, me too, as most people in the Tampa Bay area.
Big Storm announced they're partnering with Isla Mirada Brewing, and I don't know where their locations are, except I do know Isla Mirada Brewing has a location in Fort Pierce. We have listeners on the East Coast. I know there's a regular commenter from, I believe, Fort Pierce. Big Storm has partnered with Isla Mirada Brewing that if you want to help out the folks in Southwest Florida that need supplies, and you go to Big Storm Brewing's Twitter feed, you'll see what the supplies they're looking for. They have plenty of food. They have plenty of water. It's other items that are needed. You can go to Isla Mirada Brewing in Fort Pierce and drop off items, and they'll see to it that Big Storm gets it and the good people in Southwest Florida get it, the needy people there.
As we've been advertising for years now, Florida's Elite Restoration, if you've got mold or storm damage or water, or you realize, ooh, I did have a leak in my roof that I didn't know about, now I've got an issue, call them 24/7. Reach out to them through their website, floridaselite restoration.com. As we've said many times, owner Josh Martin spent 14 years as an insurance adjuster, and he knows exactly how to proceed to ensure your property is protected and your bank account is protected. And Florida's Elite Restoration is top shelf. If you mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira Kaufman, when you call, you'll save $500 if you go ahead and use their service. So maybe that's $500 off an insurance claim that you can use toward your deductible, or it's just $500 off a repair or restoration that you have done at your property. Floridaselite restoration.com. Call them 24/7, literally, and they'll give you a free assessment of what's happening. You need someone you can trust at these times. And unfortunately, we're at these times, Ira, as we heard earlier to open the podcast. Bill Curry Ford, they are the place to go. BillCurryFord.com. If you're shopping for a new vehicle, if you're looking for a used vehicle, service, whatever it is, BillCurryFord.com. Hey, Ira, I got to ask you this because we're providing some relief here to folks talking Bucks because it's what we do well, and we need your sage wisdom. People count on it. I didn't mention this in the last podcast. I wasn't there. You guys recorded right after the game, and it was a little bit shocking to me. I literally lost a night of sleep over it, Ira. Todd Bowles was very clear, no mincing of words. Julio Jones could have played last Sunday. He was cleared to play, but they chose to sit him out for the long haul. Now, a lot of times we've sat on this podcast and talked about other players and said, you know, if he needs another week to get right, sit him down, no rush. You know, we don't need this guy back, or make sure he's healthy and all that stuff. Well, usually that's never done. But in this case, it was done. And on the surface, I don't have a problem with it. But when I consider that it was against the Packers, a game that the Bucs really, really needed for potentially for home field advantage in the playoffs against the a team that's gone 13-4 or 13-3 each of the last 3 years, and knowing that Mike Evans was out, I really felt like, you know, this was not the time to rest Julio to worry about later. Maybe I'm wrong, but what do you think about that? Ira, Lee, you as well.
I think your instincts are right on, Stevie, especially the fact that everybody knew, Lee, that Mike Evans wasn't going to play. The offense had struggled through 2 weeks, even with Julio Jones contributing in week one. Lee, they had already sat him in week two, and then he gets the go-ahead for week three in a game that everybody thought was going to be a defensive struggle, and it was. And they sit him out, and Godwin's not going to play. So I'm with Steve on that. Lee, you and I were there. I'm sitting in the front row when Bowles said it. It really took me back a little bit that Julio Jones could have played. It makes me think that Jones will definitely suit up Sunday night. We'll see. But I can't imagine, unless he has a setback this week in practice, that he's not going to suit up against the Chiefs. Evans will be back. Maybe this offense gets on track. But, Lee, you know, Bowles has been very steadfast. If the medical staff gives a player the go-ahead, he's going to play. The weather conditions weren't bad. They're playing on grass. Lee, in retrospect, and we'll never know this, maybe they win that game with Julio Jones. I mean, it was a kind of a strange decision.
Very strange. Like you said, Ira, you know, Bowles has been very, very clear. If players are cleared to play, they will play. Well, he went back on that by not playing Julio. And something tells me there's an underlying issue, and it's not only, well, we wanted to save him. There must have been something else. Maybe Bowles was spooked about the knee. It just seems very odd. But you guys are right. The Bucs are 2 points away. A botched play. Maybe that's a completion with Julio in the corner to get him into overtime. Who knows? I don't understand that. Especially when Bowles has been so adamant that if guys are available to play, they will play.
I'm looking at Byron Leftwich. I'm looking hard at him right now. Obviously, he wants to be a head coach in the National Football League. Maybe he came close last year. Maybe he didn't. But he didn't get a job last year. And now it's his baby, Steve. Arians is up in a booth eating chicken tenders during games. And Lee, we can't assume that Todd Bowles is tinkering around too much with that side of the ball. So, you know, this one's on Leftwich. It's on him. And we haven't seen much imagination, Stevie, through 3 weeks. We see a plodding offense, you know, that's near the bottom in yards, in scoring. And again, plenty of opportunities in good field position because the other side of the ball is playing great. Steve, this three-week period, and I don't care how many times Leftwich is going to sit at a podium and say, I like the direction we're in. I like what we're doing. Nobody wants to hear that, Steve. Buck Nation doesn't want to hear that from Byron Leftwich. They want to see production. Brady's taking every snap. Can't blame it on Brady, necessarily. It's not hurt. This is a showdown for Byron Leftwich. He's got to get his act together.
Sage, I'll say this about the offense. I have to throw out the Saints game because Bruce Arians never cracked the Saints code either. I mean, they were shut out last year to the Saints in 2020. They were held to 3 points, both games at home. So I have to throw that out. And to me, it's just too small a sample size. Yes, I don't think there's been certain levels of creativity. Yes, I don't agree with running Leonard Fournette into the ground like they have so far, and seemingly to the point where it disturbed Todd Bowles. And so I'm just looking for a fix this week. For me, it's too soon, especially with all the injuries. We know Tom Brady's got input here and who he trusts and who he doesn't. And I cannot fault Leftwich for two fumbles in Packers territory. So I'm not ready to go there yet with him. It's worse than it should be. I'll guarantee you that. Lee's laid out all the numbers very nicely through the week. It's worse than it should be, but I got to throw it out. In my mind, it's too soon.
Lee, I got something for you, Lee. And I sat right next to this guy when he said it. Actually, it was on Zoom call this week. It was on Zoom call. But I looked into his eyes. Lee, when I talked to Derek Brooks on the Identity Tampa 2 on a Zoom call, and Lee, I mentioned Leonard Fournette and how he's been ineffective the last 2 weeks, even though, to me, Todd Bowles, Leftwich was way over the top, talking about what a great game Fournette had in week two in New Orleans. I didn't even understand that, Lee. I mean, the guy's main job is to run the football, and he wasn't particularly effective, and, you know, he made a couple of chip blocks. I'm not that over the moon about it. Lee, when I mentioned Fournette last 2 weeks, particularly Green Bay game, Lee, you know what Brooks honed in on? He said the holes were there. He said there was a lot of running room, and Fournette wasn't capitalizing on it. Now, that is a very intriguing comment from Brooks. What the heck does it say about Fournette right now?
Well, I noticed one run, and who knows what the coaches are telling Fournette. I know there was one run that Fournette passed up all kinds of green. You know, there's all kinds of daylight there, and he passed it up, and instead he followed a blocker. Now, maybe the Bucs are telling him, follow the blockers, don't freelance and go run the daylight. That could be. I don't know that. But otherwise, visually, that didn't look good. And I'm a big Lenny fan, huge Lenny fan. So I don't know why all of a sudden that's changed. The only thing I could think of is the coaches are telling them, just follow the blockers, don't freelance. I will say this subject you guys were discussing previously. I'm starting to get the impression Bowles has a lot more influence on the offense than what people are believing. And I'll give you a couple examples. Father Dungy told Chris Sims that Bowles did not want to run a no-risk-it, no-biscuit offense. Well, the Bucs were successful doing that. And you know what my mantra is? Don't fix something that's not broken. And there was nothing broken about the Bucs' offense. Nothing. Example number two, Bowles gets on the team-produced radio show, as Steve is well-documented, and in no uncertain terms said the backup running backs will get snaps. That doesn't sound like a guy that's hands off the offense to me.
That really got Bowles' attention, Steve. The fact that Fournette was the only running back to get a carry in a game that was never kind of out of hand. It could have got out of hand if Vita Vea didn't force that fumble with a great play. You know, if that's 21-3 lead, that game might be over at that point. But, Steve, Keyshawn Vaughn's got to get some carries Sunday night. I'm sorry.
Ira, when Vita Vea made that play, you remember what I said right before that snap?
No, because I had a mouthful of Cuban sandwich. I didn't hear you.
And I didn't know a mouthful of food would stop you from hearing.
Everything's connected with me, Lee. It's all connected.
Steve, I told Ira right before that snap, I said, the Packers are 4 yards away from me to start riding.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Ira, the line of the week from Todd Bowles came on his team radio show. And Ira, I never heard such a thing in a long time. Now, they asked him about the running backs. And I'm just going to read you the quote, Sage. I think the other two guys need to play to spell Fournette, give him some rest. So he doesn't say they're damn good. He says we need to give Fournette some rest. And then he says we're trying to keep Fournette for 17 games and not just 3 games. So it's going to be important to get the other guys involved in that. And we just have to bite the bullet and put him in there. We trusted him in preseason and trust him in practice. Bite the bullet, Ira. Who says bite the bullet about running backs, your backups? You want them to play because they're good, because they can give a spark. Bite the bullet is what you say when you're coaching JV football and you got to put in the fifth string running back because the kid can barely run and you got to suck it up and do something. I mean, what is that? I've never heard. I think that was really telling as to what the whole organization thinks about these two backups.
We're not privy to every practice. You know, we see the stretching and then that's it. I don't know what Keyshawn Vaughn's doing in practice, Lee, but I got to tell you, I haven't seen enough sample size of him toting the football as a pro to come to the conclusion that he doesn't have it. I can't say that right now. I don't know that. He had a huge run last year for a touchdown. Big run. The other guy's a rookie. You certainly can't make a judgment on him. They let Ronald Jones go. Can Vaughn get 8 or 10 carries to see if the guy can get, 45 yards? Can I see it? Bite the bullet. I hope he misspoke about that, Lee. Otherwise, it shows a problem with Faith and some of these other backs.
Well, just the fact he let Rojo go, either they were that soured on him or they thought they didn't need him. And if they thought they didn't need him, that tells me they thought they had a capable backup or two. Real quick about the running backs. Vaughn, up until maybe the latter part of last year, I hadn't seen anything from the guy. He looked like a typical Vanderbilt running back. Vanderbilt? Really? So I was not impressed with Vaughn any way, shape, or form until the latter part of last year, and he started looking like an NFL running back. Now, I'm not saying the Bucs are going to the Super Bowl, or we can't win a Super Bowl without Keyshawn Vaughn. We shall see. But I thought he impresses me as a guy who's more of a bruising running back, just eyeballing it, just physically. Rashad White doesn't look like that kind of guy. I'm not saying he is or is not that kind of guy. He just doesn't look like that kind of guy. Vaughn does. He looks like more of a guy that can take punishment, that can break tackles against a linebacker. And last year, the few chances he got, I thought, okay, he's a keeper. I would like to see him, but you know what? The only thing I can think of is these guys have been so unimpressive in practice that, like Bull said, bite the bullet. I tell you what, this White has really, really fallen off the cliff. In training camp practice, no one got more touches than this White, and he was doing quite well. And I thought, man, this guy's going to get, 5, 10 touches a game minimum coming off the bench. And now he's like an afterthought. He's almost like Kyle Trask, although he is active. And Keyshawn Vaughn right now is a rumor, just like Kyle Trask is a rumor.
Sage, real quick, Sage, the last time we saw Keyshawn Vaughn, 17 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown against the Eagles in the playoffs, which is obviously a strong performance. So it's a little bit mysterious, but I got a question for you, Ira, and I want to hear what you have to say. But the quick question is, and you can give me a one-word answer if you want to, do the Bucs bite the bullet and trade for Ronald Jones, who is yet to be active with the Chiefs and is clearly, on the outs there, hasn't been activated yet? Or do they go bold and make the trade for Saquon Barkley, who's apparently on the market because the Giants aren't going to pay him next year?
No, they don't, because Leonard Fournette will remain their featured back. If he's not healthy, don't play him. But Leonard Fournette has street cred. I haven't lost faith in Leonard Fournette. I don't want him carrying the ball 25 times. He ain't Derrick Henry. But no, they don't need to make a big trade. Steve, two more quick points for me. One, I think we need to acknowledge, in the words of Lee DeKemper, Team Glazer has stepped up quickly and authoritatively. $1 million, 1 million clams from the Glazer family towards relief for Hurricane Ian. I think we need to acknowledge that. Classy move. Two, we haven't mentioned the Buck defense because we're so focused on an offense that has struggled. 27 points, 3 weeks. You don't have to be a math major to know that you give up 9 points a game on average. You're going to win a lot of football games. Lee, I wrote a column this week. You probably saw it. I was comparing this team right now to the 99 Bucks. Lee, 99 Bucks. Great defense. Zapp, defensive player of the year. Sean King, and Dilfer at quarterback, struggling to score 17 points. It's early, Lee. I mean, things can change as early as Sunday night. I don't really think the defense minds it. They say, bring it on. We'll carry the ball. And they've done a hell of a job in that regard.
I just know there's many listeners that are calling 911 because they just had a wreck listening to you. I've got to speak for them. The nerve that you have to remotely infer Tom Brady with Trent Dilfer is appalling beyond words. have your press credentials revoked. I mean, insinuating that.
Well, Lee, the stats are the stats. You know, they're 16, 17 points a game, and one of the touchdowns came from defense. Steve, the numbers are the numbers, Steve. It's early, but, you know, so far they're struggling.
Well, they're 2-1. And it's a winnable contest this week. It's not like the Chiefs are what they were in the past. And we're going to get into those picks. A reminder to everybody, Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, that's where you shop first for a vehicle. BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty on used and brand new vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, the defense, though, extraordinary. And there's really, really nothing else to say about it. I mean, if you boil it down, and Todd Bowles is punching out these high standards and this and that, but as Lee mentioned on Joe Buck's Fan, and I think it should be common sense to everybody, as much as people are moaning about, oh, the slow starts and this, it's major league nitpicking when every coach will tell you in the same breath, it's a 60-minute game and the Bucks are allowing 9 points a game. I mean, come on, Todd. It's been extraordinary. The nice thing is that there's no reason to believe that it shouldn't continue. And Devin White, defensive player of the month for September, Ira. And the great thing about that is he even still has room to improve, which is phenomenal. He's on his way slowly, slowly, and it's early, and it's tough from his position, but he's marching toward being in the defensive player of the year conversation.
I'm very proud of Devin White at this point. You know, he took a bad angle or two early in the Green Bay game when they were scoring on their first two possessions. But the guy's playing great football. He's playing smart football. Those conversations with Derek Brooks, I think, has really helped him. He's so smart to lean on the intelligence, the football savvy of Derek Brooks. You know, who had the physical skills of a Devin White, but combined it with a great football mind. That's why he was, you know, a couple of years ago, voted one of the 12 best linebackers in the history of the National Football League. That's Derek Brooks. So you listen to him when he speaks, and I can see the improvement, communication, diagnosing plays, Lee not overrunning plays. Devin White off to a hell of a start. And, Lee, you know, one more point about the Buck defense. I didn't think they were that good against the run in New Orleans. Not that good. I think Bowles was a little disappointed in that regard. So what happens, Lee? They face Green Bay the following week. The Packers run the ball. You know, that's a top 10 rushing offense. They got two good running backs. And, you know, they average, you know, they've averaged 4.5 yards a carry some years. I mean, that's a big, big number. And the Bucs shut them down. They do nothing on the ground. This defense is flying around, Lee. Flying around. One thing I've noticed, Lee, if the first guy misses the tackle, there's another guy that's right there. And that was a big point of emphasis for Bowles. Hang tackle, fly to the ball. And, Lee, for 3 weeks, it's been fantastic.
The defense has been excellent. That's all you can say. It's been excellent. You know, there's still people on our website bellyaching about Sue. And by the way, Sue's still on the streets, twittering about finances. Fuck Steve. You know, what more can you say? It's dynamite. If it's not for the defense, I don't know if the Bucks are not 0-3.
Could be, Lee. And suck up's been great, Steve. Suck up.
All right, Sage, it's the moment of truth, and I'm going to you first. You do not even get a chance to pick who picks first. You are a 1-2 this season, so am I. Lee's 0-3. So we're not having the greatest year picking the games. But you know what? That's going to turn around. It always does. And Ira, you have to go first because you, as many of your loyal listeners know, you are a lifelong, almost lifelong, I can't go that far back, but a Chiefs fan because that was your team when you were a little kid and your brother was rooting for the Chiefs' rivals. So
That's right.
We know the story, Sage, but now we need to know the score.
Steve, I want everybody to know that I'm not late to this Chiefs party. I didn't become a Chiefs fan when Patrick Mahomes was drafted and started putting up 40 points. I go back to the Len Dawson, Otis Taylor days, so I make no apologies. I mean, that's a long, long time. I started when they were in Super Bowl I. Here's what you need to know about Sunday's matchup. I think it's going to be another defensive struggle. The Chiefs are not scoring a lot of points, Lee. They do miss Tyreek Hill. There's no question about it. But that trade for Hill allowed them to bulk up their defense a little bit, which they needed to do because it was a below average defense. And now I think it's an above average defense. And I think in the end, Mahomes will make one play that Brady won't and pull out this victory. I think it's going to be 21-17 Kansas City. The Chiefs played terrible at Indianapolis. They couldn't play much worse. They muffed a punt. They missed a field goal. They tried a fake field goal that was a disaster. And yet they had a chance to win the game with 30 seconds left against a desperate team. The Chiefs are pissed off. The Bucs are pissed off. Guys, I got the Chiefs 21-17.
Sage, I'm going with the Bucs. Going with the Bucs. Not that impressed with the Chiefs. I did watch their game against the Colts. Sloppy, Ira, sloppy, sloppy, sloppy. And frankly, watching them against the Chargers as well, you know, they needed a comeback in that game at home to get by a Chargers team that really isn't so great. Now, I understand Herbert has gotten hurt since then, but that wasn't some display of incredible football. Chargers a couple of weeks ago. So I think the Bucs will, getting Mike Evans back is huge. I think they would have been 3-0 if they had Mike Evans last week. And the defense is lights out. They're not going to be intimidated by Patrick Mahomes. And I think that kicking game that you mentioned, I believe they fired their kicker. They had problems before that. So you don't just fire your kicker in 1 week. And I think the Bucs special teams has been strong this season. Jalen Darden even ranked 12th in the NFL in punt returns. It's a miracle. But that fourth down, the Bucs have improved greatly. I think the Bucs will win this game by 4 points. I like them and to even score some points this week. 28-24 Bucs.
Ira, I hate to tell you this. I know you're a big Chiefs fan. That doesn't mean you're anti-Bucs. People automatically assume that, and that's BS. If anything, I think Ira's a Bucs homer, and I'm sincere about that. So people think you're anti-Bucs because you're a Chiefs fan. They just don't know any better. I'm sorry. But I got to advise you, Ira, you might have to put away your Bill Kenny jersey. I think the Bucs will win this. Todd Bowles is the man who broke the code on Pat Mahomes. He's the guy who set the blueprint on how you stop Pat Mahomes. And lest we forget, the Bucs defense, pretty much the same guys they're going to be playing Sunday, sans JPP, they held Pat Mahomes without a touchdown in a Super Bowl. Let's never forget that. That was one of the great all-time defensive efforts in Super Bowl history. I believe the Bucs will win. They will finally break the 20-point plateau. Finally. They will win, not on a Brady touchdown, not on a Brady two-point conversion, but on a Ryan Suckup field goal, 24-21 Bucs.
To your point about the performance against Mahomes in the Super Bowl, which you're right, absolutely sensational. And to be fair, the Chief offense was better that year than it is this year. They had Tyreek Hill. But Lee, there is a difference that we have to acknowledge. After that game, and I think it was, you know, probably on the flight back to Kansas City, Andy Reid stomped his way up and down that aisle with a glass of beer and a can of beer in his hands and went up to the general manager and said, you got to get us some offensive linemen. And Lee, they've made a lot of changes up front, a lot of them. They went out and got Orlando Brown, had to make a deal for him. They drafted a center named Humphrey, who's very good. So they made some changes up front, Lee. I don't think the Bucs can run roughshod over them in terms of a pass rush. But there'll be some heat on Mahomes. But that Chief offensive line, that day, they were overwhelmed. They've made some strides in that area.
It's interesting you bring up Kansas City's offensive line, Ira. I was listening to Michael Lombardi earlier this week. He talked about Kansas City's offensive line. He said he's disappointed in them. He doesn't think they're playing up to their abilities.
I think he's right. Based on their struggle to score points, Steve, they don't run the ball often, which I don't really understand. I mean, they don't have a standout wide receiver at this point. So why not give Valaire, 16 carries? Why not? They might do it Sunday night. And Steve, none of those guys, you know, they said, well, they'll replace Tyreek Hill by, you know, a multitude of players. So they brought in Schuster. They brought in Scandling. They drafted Sky Moore. Steve, through 3 weeks, none of those guys has distinguished themselves. They still got Kelce. And I know Todd Bowles well enough, Steve. I mean, every other word out of Bowles' mouth this week has to be Kelce. Kelce, Kelce, Kelce. The guy's great. He's fabulous.
Well, the Bucs have the horses to cover Kelce. They've proven it. And that's what we're going to find out. Ira, no more Chiefs talk. Who the hell cares? All right, Sage, you know what? I'm going to cut it off here. We get a little silly sometimes at the end of the podcast and during the podcast, of course, as our regular listeners know, but it doesn't feel like the right time for that, Sage. We have many of our listeners struggling, still lots of people in Tampa without power, and it's just not the time. Sunday will be a great getaway from all the storm stuff Sunday night when the Bucs host the Chiefs, and hopefully, you know, just a real rallying cry for the team and for the community in a lot of ways. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there immediately and do not hesitate to reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM. He will help you personally. He'll give you the Ira Kaufman discount, and all the great things they're doing for customers is right there at BillCurryFord.com. They've got, I think it's 50 active charities as well, and I'm sure they'll have more once they get more involved in the storm situation here and the aftermath. And Florida's Elite Restoration, remember them for all of your storm damage needs, but all year round, fire, water, mold, whatever it is, Florida's Elite Restoration, they're there for you 24/7, and they'll give you a free assessment of what's happening. Call them before you call your insurance company. All right, we will be back. The podcast is available at Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts, Podbean. You could subscribe there. That way you just get a free alert so you know what it's going to post. Of course, you can just listen at joebucksfan.com. You can also listen to Bucks Kickoff with Rock Riley, our good buddy. That pops so anywhere from 24 to 48 hours before each game. Rock really goes in deep, gives it a lot of effort. He's at $1 during the week, not this week because it was a crazy week. But take a listen. Bucks Kickoff as you drive to the stadium for sure. All right, Sage, you're out. We're out. We'll be back next week with a couple of podcasts, maybe even three. We got some other things going on, which is exciting. And we'll talk to you next week.